ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेन्थ् अण्ड् आल् दि आर्गन्स् बिकम् वेल् डेवलप्ड् एव्रिथिङ्ग् इस् दि ब्रह्मन् रिवील्ड् इन् दि उपनिषत्स्। मे ऐ नाट् डिनै ब्रह्मन् may not brahman deny me, let there be no spurning of me by brahman, let there be no rejection of brahman by me, may all the virtues that are spoken of in the upanishads repose in me who am engaged in the pursuit of the self, may they repose in me. Om peace 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 be unto all. We are studying the 7th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad, called Bhumananda, otherwise also known as Brahmananda. In our last class, we have been discussing the 14th section known as Asha Brahma Upasana. Even superior, interior to Akasha is this Asha. Asha means that intense yearning to be one's own self. In this world, if we analyze, every desire, small or big, positive or negative, good or evil, everything depends only for the purpose that I want to be myself. This urge in philosophical language is called teleological urge. So, Asha Vava Smarat Bhuyasi. Sanat Kumara was instructing this Asha is greater than even Akasha, greater than even Smara, because Smara means self-awareness. So, without self-awareness, without being conscious that this is the world, is made up of five elements and Akasha is the highest element, such knowledge will not come. Therefore, Smara means develop that acute self-awareness, whether we are in the waking or dream or dreamless states. So, this is what in Bhajagovinda Stotram we have studied. Tattvam chintaya tadiha bhrataha. Try to find out who you really are. And this is how this particular section, 14th section, starts. Asha Vava Smarat Bhuyasi. Asha, that hope that one day I will know who I am. And who am I? The scriptures tell us I am Brahman, Sat Chit Ananda. And what does this Brahman mean? Brahman means that largest, biggest, greatest. It is not an adjective. It is not a visheshana, it is a noun. What does it mean? Supposing you find out an ant, and very big ant. So, this bigness is an adjective to the noun called ant. A big man, that is compared to other people, this person has got bigness, that is an adjective. But adjectives cannot remain without the object, without the substance, the person, the object. This is the biggest mountain. So, among mountains, this is the biggest. So, a biggest ant, a biggest man, a biggest mountain, there is no comparison. That's why they are called adjectives. But this bigness means it includes the whole cosmos, whole Srishti, and Akasha itself is considered as infinite. But it contains the Akasha, because if I am not aware of the Akasha or space, then it doesn't even exist. This is again a very fundamental principle of Vedanta. If I do not know about something, if I am not aware of its existence, so far as I am concerned, it doesn't exist. If somebody doesn't know about God, he, as far as that person is concerned, God really doesn't exist at all. But our scriptures categorically tell us, and we all cherish hope, because how do we cherish? Through information, especially nowadays. You are not aware of a particular gadget, but somewhere suddenly you see YouTube somewhere, oh, this gadget has been invented, this software has been invented, and then, oh, I can do with that, it can help me a lot in my job, in my work, or in my hobby, whatever it is. So information is very necessary, and the information not only about world, about myself, both about the world and myself, comes only from the scriptures. So, knowingly or unknowingly, and desiring or not desiring, we all come to hear about God, etc. And that is why one of the Upanishads categorically declares, if anybody says Brahman doesn't exist, he will not exist. That is not a true statement, because it is impossible. Brahman always exists. That means, if I exist, Brahman exists. Who comes first? I or Brahman? Always I come first. If I don't think about God, then God doesn't exist for me. That's why Sri Ramakrishna sarcastically puts it in a very beautiful way, that even God is smaller than a devotee. And he puts it in a very graphical way. The whole universe is so big, we cannot imagine. And that universe is always in the stomach of the Divine Lord. That is why Vishnu's, this whole Brahma, represents the whole creation. And where is this Brahma? Nabhi Kamale. He is there inside, but he comes out through the navel and sits on a lotus. But actually what it means is, he is firmly established in Brahman. That's what it means. So, this Narayana, our Divine Mother, Kali Rudare Brahmanda Bhando Prakandata Janokamon. The whole universe is in this Brahma. Brahma is otherwise called Shakti. And that Shakti goes by the name Kali. So, in that Kali's stomach, for the normal people who cannot understand higher concepts, so Divine Mother is like a human being. Just as we have in our stomachs so many things, Divine Mother has the entire universe. So she must be the biggest? No, because that Divine Mother who contains the whole universe is in the hearts of the devotees. So who is greater? A devotee is greater. His heart contains Divine Mother. Divine Mother contains the whole universe. This is how Sri Ramakrishna tries to put it. But simply what it means is, first I come, then God, Brahman, Yahweh, Kingdom of Heaven, Samadhi, everything comes only later on. So, this is what we want to realize. What am I? If once we understand, even intellectually, the whole world depends upon me, both for not only its existence, but even after the existence is confirmed, whether it gives me happiness or unhappiness totally depends upon each one of us. If I don't like something, for example, then that produces in me a negative feeling. But if I like, and that like has nothing to do with fact or truth, I may like poison, a person who smokes, a person who drinks, a person who goes on eating lot of things unsuitable, they're all just swallowing poison. Only they don't call it poison. But this person says, I love this sweet poison. And he goes on suffering later on. So, everything depends upon me. And if we can understand, comprehend it, even intellectually, we become great. And that is why psychologists call you develop positive thinking. Everything positive. Then great things will come out. At least the person who develops, he will be very happy. So this is the more or less what Sanat Kumara wants to tell to Narada. Asha Vava Smarat Bhuyasi. Asha is much, much superior because it is the cause. Cause is always superior to the effect. Asha Ithaha. Propelled, inspired by Asha, by Smaraha Mantra Adhite. Is a very small section, only one mantra. So, Smaro Mantra Adhite. He who remembers or has hopes. So, itham vai karmani kurute. So, the person remembers and he hopes and then he does actions and he studies Vedas and he develops faith and all rituals. Everything is there. So, this aspiration, that is the most important thing. Why? That is why Asha Iddho Vai Smaraha. A person who has once got Asha, hope, desire for something, anything. So, then Matra Nadhite studies the Vedic mantras and he develops faith. How does he develop faith? This is a question we have to ask before proceeding further, because it is like exercise. So, a person is weak, he does exercise, and as he goes on exercising, slowly he develops strength. This is the practical result. So, same way, this person does some rituals, and he gets the result, and then slowly his Shraddha. Yes, they are all true. What the Vedas speak is absolute truth. So, if this is the truth, I experimented it, then the other things also must be true. So, he does better rituals, he attains higher worlds, and he enjoys, comes back, and then again does it, until finally he reaches Brahmaloka, and he enjoys supreme happiness many times. And then he realizes that these are all limited effects, because I have to do something, then only I get the result. But what if I get them permanently? Can I get them permanently? That is where the Upanishad steps in and says, definitely what it says is, even if you are a spiritual aspirant, don't aspire for God realization. Find out where you are and find out what is the next step. And try your best to step on the very next step. Forget everything else. Then the third step will open to you. Then this is how progress is to be done. And this is the methodology adopted in this particular seventh chapter by Sanat Kumara, leading Narada step by step. So, whatever accomplishment we want, all depends upon karma. But karma depends upon our knowledge obtained from the scriptures. And then scriptures also tell, if you wish to attain this result, this should be the experiment you have to do. So, very briefly, the Upanishad, remember, belongs to the second part of the Vedas called Jnanakanda. So, it takes for granted the first step, which is Karmakanda, has been accomplished and the person experienced and he understood. Then, he turned his attention inward. Now, he doesn't want any limited result. He wants the unlimited result. Only for such people, all these are completely relevant. So, asham brahma iti upaste, ashaya asya sarve kamaha samrudhyanti, amogaha hi asya asisho bhavanti, yavad ashaya gatam tatrasya ita kamacharo bhavati. He who worships this, what is called hope, that is gradually unfold the divinity within, then he will get everything that has been beautifully described in the scriptures. And then what happens? Asya sarve kamaha samrudhyanta. Whatever desires he has in this world, in the other world, and in creation only, there are two, this world and the other world, then sarve kamaha samrudhyanta, plenty, pushkala, that is, God fulfills beyond our measure. So this person, not only that, this person progresses in life. How? By having nobler and still more nobler desires, which is achieved because of the karma yoga, which will be all a blessings, not only for him, for the whole world. So, not only that, amoghaha asya asishaha bhavanti. So, not only that, all his desires, whatever desire comes. Remember, such a person is far, far above a worldly person. As he goes on, we have discussed it many times in the introduction also. So when a person goes on performing rituals, certain things happen. What things happen? First thing is chitta shuddhi. His mind becomes pure. And then chitta ekagrata. His mind becomes more and more concentrated. He forgets the whole world. Chitta vaishalyata. Then his mind becomes more and more identified. That is called real growth. Identification with the larger whole. I gave the example. Person identifies himself. A baby always identifies with himself, with itself. Then as the baby grows, identifies with the family. If it really grows, identifies with the village, then the city, then the state, then the country, then international, then with the whole world, with the living, as well as with the non-living. This is how a person becomes greater and greater. So, amogha means in vain. Amogha means absolutely they come true. Every wish of his becomes fruitful. And remember, when the person's mind becomes pure, his understanding becomes greater. Then he understands. It is the same scripture which is talking about Swargaloka, Indraloka and Brahmaloka. But at the same time, same scripture. For example, in the Mundaka Upanishad, Adhridaha Plavahyetehe. So all these going to other worlds, etc., these rituals, they're all adridaha, they're broken reeds. They drown us forcibly in this world. Then what should be clung? That only the divine Lord. In the Bhakta's language, I want only God and nothing else. I want only Mother, nothing else. So his understanding becomes deeper. Then he turns away like Nachiketa. I don't want prayers, I want only Shreyas. But until that time, because of the pureness, this all his desires become amogha, and he experiences it. Without experience, simply I experienced it and I have overcome the desire, I will not desire anymore, is never going to happen. That's why in a lighter way, I always tell that a person cannot renounce what Sri Ramakrishna calls woman and gold, get married and then suffer, and then he understands after Churasi Lakh Jaram that I am not getting, I am only become a donkey, and therefore he turns Avrutta Chakshuho Amrutattva Vichyan, and we have to go through. That's what Sri Ramakrishna explains. A person must go
through the experiences of a what is called lavatory cleaner, sweeper, until the state of an emperor. Then only that Viveka Vairagya will come. Until that time, there will be a hiding, what is called curiousness. Oh, there may be something, I am missing something. Enter into it. Now you understand what you are missing. Really you are missing. And then you turn back. Then Narada must have done this. He has become completely aware. And his only desire will be, I want nothing but Brahma Sakshatkara. So he comes back and says, Asti Bhagavan, Ashayaha Bhuyaha Iti. So is there something superior to Asha? Or is there a root, a cause, which produces this Asha? And then, as usual, Sanat Kumara says, of course there is. Then, please instruct me. Remember, Narada says, please instruct me. He must be ready to understand. Otherwise, a school child, pupil, doesn't approach Einstein and say, instruct me in the special theory of relativity. He must go through so many steps even to be ready. So Narada becomes what we call in Vedantic language, Adhikari. And then he understands not only Adhikari, he becomes ready for this next step. And then Sanat Kumara instructs. So this is the essence of the 14th chapter called Asha. Then what is the superior thing? What is it that really makes Asha possible? So as usual, this is a little bigger section, is the 15th section, Panchadasha Khandaha. There are four mantras are there, but the meaning is quite easy once we understand. So he says, yes, of course there is something superior than Asha. Please instruct me. And then Sanat Kumara starts his lesson. Prano va Ashayaha Bhuya Yatha. So Asha is only an inferior step, lower step, but prana, and it is very true, and we must understand it in two ways. Prana, individual prana. So a dead person cannot go on hoping for something because there is no manifestation of consciousness at all. But here prana, a person who has reached such a high state, need not be taught about only individual prana. All those things were over long before. Here prana means Hiranyagarbha. You have become very subtle. You have been capable of concentrating, meditating, and you have expanded yourself. And so far, you have expanded. But the last step, which makes you equivalent to the highest expansion, that is called Hiranyagarbha Sthiti. So, prana here means Hiranyagarbha. So, that is why many times pranopasana, contemplation upon prana, is also there. So, prana must be first. Then only Asha will be there. So, if I am not inspired by God, how do we know? Because there was a great sage called Dattatreya. And then he says, Ishvara anugrahena pumsam advaita vasana. Here advaita vasana, we must translate, the desire for God realization is possible only by the grace of God. Umpteen number of times when we study the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, we say, Sri Ramakrishna tells something. And M particularly says, did you understand? Yes, I understood. So immediately, Sri Ramakrishna, by God's grace, without God's grace, one cannot understand it. That is why every day our prayer, make me understand. Dhiyo yonaha prachodayat. So, Narada also had almost reached the last step. In this series of upasanas, pranopasana or Hiranyagarbha Brahma upasana, is the last. And then something curious happens. Narada thought that he has reached Hiranyagarbha. But then Sanat Kumara says, that is not the end. There are still higher steps, but Narada doesn't come and say, is there anything bhuyaha than pranova bhuyaha asti iti. He doesn't ask because he mistook it. He was so overcome. He did not have the capacity to think there can be something. But a guru, he says, this is nothing. This is a lower step. There is still a higher step. And that is what we will be talking about, because there are still 26 sections are there. After 15th, that means another 11 sections are there. But excepting this, most of the sections are only consisting of one mantra. So here, prana is much superior. So what is this prana? Let us have a brief introduction before we delve into this, what is called prana. So what do we say? Whenever you see a person acting, and then activity means energy expression. Without energy, there cannot be any activity. So this is what we think, that a person is great because of his activity. A person loves because of this prana, activity. Loving is an activity. Very interesting, you have to understand. Somebody says, I love you, and goes on smiling at you, and you are suffering because there is no food, and you are standing outside, it is pouring, and then it is extraordinarily cold, and you are smiling, go on uttering like a broken gramophone record, I love you, I love you, I love you. What good is that love? Love must express itself in activity. Any activity that is not accompanied by love is completely useless. So, that is where prana comes. Who can love or who can act? Only a person who is alive. Not only that, there is a deep connection between prana and consciousness. This is one of the most fascinating subjects in the Yoga Sutras. Swami Vivekananda is a beautiful introduction before delving into Raja Yoga Sutras, Patanjali Yoga Sutras. He talks about what is called Akasha and Prana. And we have to remember, Akasha means consciousness, Prana means the vehicle to manifest that consciousness. If there is no Prana, consciousness is still there. It is all pervading, but it cannot be expressed. Just like you are in deep sleep, Sushupti, and you maybe you are greater than Einstein, you have the knowledge, but you don't have the medium, instrumentality. So you cannot tell anything. And earlier also we have seen, remember, maybe you are awake, but smarana, smara, remembrance is not there. So many things, unconscious person cannot act. At the same time, a person who lost his memory power, he also cannot express anything. This beautiful subject we have been discussing throughout. So, what is important in this 50th is the last and 15th upasana, the pranopasana, pranam brahmeti upasva, and here individual prana and collective prana. Individual prana is the personality, collective prana is called Hiranyagarbha, because a personality consists of both body as well as mind. If there is no mind, the body doesn't know what it is doing. But without the body, the mind cannot express itself. Remember that. But both body mind can function only when there is a prana. So what does prana do? It facilitates chidabhasa, the reflection of the consciousness, and then it makes the mind function as well as the body function. Then only we can perceive the world, experience the world, and remember the world, and act and interact with the world. Everything is possible only because of the prana. So even asha, hope, a dead person, do you think he hopes? He cannot. Only a live person can hope. But a person far advanced in spiritual life, he can hope, he can think deeply, I know God exists, but for our purpose, Hiranyagarbha, collectively, entire universe can be called Hiranyagarbha until certain level. So this Hiranyagarbha Upasana is at the collective level, but this Prana Brahma Upasana is at the individual level. What does it mean? It means, first of all, you realize that without prana, I am nobody. I am a dead person. Therefore, prana is the greatest manifestation. And to prove this, there are several stories in the Upanishads, both Chandogya as well as Brihadaranyaka, some other Upanishads. You know the story, if I remind you. So there was a debate between all the sense organs. And by the way, sense organs are also called pranas because we discussed sarve pranaha balim avahanti. All the sense organs, they bring the best experiences to a person who has become master of all the sense organs, master of his own prana. So there was a debate, who is the greatest? And then all the five sense organs, they debated how to determine. Then they found out that let us, each one of us, go out for an year and see whether the person survives or not. So first the eyes went out, and then the person was continuing. 1 year passed, prana returns. How did you manage to live? I am surprised you are still alive. Says like any blind person. Because so long as prana is there, the person will not die. He may have to suffer a little bit. There will be handicap, and sometimes blind persons are far superior to so-called seeing persons also. Anyway, then next organ went. All the five sense organs went, but there was no danger. Only a little bit of handicap. That particular sense organ is not available for giving us information. Then prana, it said, now let me go out. It did not go out. It just made an attempt to get up. And as it were, a huge banyan tree was being uprooted by the roots. And then it affected all the five sense organs. Then they came to their senses, and then they bowed down. They did prana. You are the greatest. We are dependent upon you. Without you, we cannot live. And that is the prana, superior manifestation of Brahman at the level of this personality, at individual level. That is called prana Brahma. And one should recognize, we hardly recognize it. But at the same time, a spiritual person, he identifies with somebody, with the whole world, living as well as non-living, but especially with the living, even any animal, any plant. That's why a sensitive person, that is a highly developed pranic person, cannot harm anybody because he understands that every living creature is nothing but prana, manifestation of prana. Body is a manifestation of prana. Mind is a manifestation of prana. Without prana, the person will be dead. Nothing is going to work out. So therefore, pranam brahmeti yajanat. And that is how Narada was also being taught. But a greater a person, more spiritual a person, what does he do? He attains vaishalyata. Gradually, as this person identifying with family, then his village, his district, his state, his country, etc. This person gradually, that's why so much of sympathy are there. And other creatures also come to know about it. You love a dog, the dog loves you. Very beautiful stories are there. If you want to adopt a dog, you visit a place where they sell the dogs and go up and down, and there will be many puppies, and then one of the puppies, it follows you with soulful eyes. And then you understand, this puppy loves me. This is for me. And some will be snarling at you. So don't ever take it, because it may turn one day and tear you to pieces. no, no, sorry. It may make you food material. So, this is, you love a horse, horse loves you. You love anything, even a machine. I have seen it with my own eyes. There was one driver who loved the vehicles. We employed him, of course. And that vehicle gives a lot of trouble. Any other driver comes. But as soon as this person comes, oh, as if it is a new car, it moves so fast without any trouble. Try to explain in whatever you want, but love works. Because scientists have proved, even metals have fatigue. That's why huge factories, machines have to be given rest now and then. So, that is called slowly here. This person, as he grows up in spiritual life, progresses, he gradually identifies himself more and more and more with prana. And that prana is manifest everywhere. Until this person reaches or identifies himself with Hiranyagarbha, which means everything in this world, both living and non-living. And here also, I go on pointing out the same points again and again because we do not think properly, recollect properly. There is absolutely no difference between living and non-living. For example, when you eat any vegetable, any food material, it is the moment you put even a juicy mango, it becomes a dead mango. But when it goes inside, it becomes identified with you and it comes out alive. So, non-material is becoming living and material living becomes non-material. Like that, it goes on exchanging things. And this permanent distinction living and non-living is a nonsense. So, this is how Hiranyagarbha Upasana at the samashti level, prana is called Hiranyagarbha. At the individual level, it is called life. This is what we understand. And then another important point we have to understand is, so we respect our mother, father, friends, acharya, everybody, great people. So nobody should hurt them. But then when we are hurting their bodies or their minds, then what do we say? Oh, we are hurting father and mother. But what is father? Really speaking, father is prana, prana manifesting in a particular form that is called father. Same mother, same acharya, same brahmana and sister and brother, everything. This is an important point. So what happens? That we think I am the body mind. But really, truly speaking, we should identify with our prana. So that is why this Upanishad in this particular section gives certain examples. So what happens? That Hiranyagarbha, when he enters into this individual body and mind complex, so it is called this person, this living person. This is called the entry of the universal into the particular. And that is what we call our personality. And when death comes, what happens? This prana, individual prana, again goes back into the universal prana from where it has come. In fact, whatever has come, because of whatever cause, it goes back to its cause only. So whatever there is in this world, worthwhile, meaningful, is only nothing but prana. So minus prana, life itself, everything is meaningless. So when we say this is my father, this is my mother, my brother, my sister, and my acharya, etc., what do we mean by that? We are not referring to the body as father, mother, sister, and because, again, remember the point. These are finer points. If you say father is the body, which body are you referring? Yesterday's body? Or today morning's body? Or 1 year's back's body? Or when he was a small child, baby? Which body are you referring? Okay, no, I don't mean the body, I mean the mind. Oh, then what about the mind? Is it baby's mind only? Is he so stupid? Your father looks so stupid. Your mother looks so stupid. They have grown in mind also. So which mind are you referring? It is neither father nor all this body mind are kept together because of what? Prana. That is the point. In reality, we are all prana. What is prana? Manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, we are all nothing but consciousness, because what happens when prana departs? Consciousness also becomes invisible, inaccessible. And therefore, we don't mind burning them, beating them, etc. That example we will come when we discuss this one. So, we are not referring to the bodies of anybody, whether we call father, mother, sister, brother, acharya, brahmana. We extend it, the same example, to everybody. So, even a dog, even a mosquito, even a fly, even an ant. So, when the life principle is withdrawn, where is our importance? There is no importance at all. So, with regard to ourselves, even in worldly sense, the body-mind complex is not our real personality. Prana is our real personality. That is the crux, the essence of this 15th upasana. And then the upasana is the same section, Upanishad. It illustrates. What does it say? Sayadi pitram va, mataram va, bhrataram va, sasaram va, acharyam va, brahmanam va, kinchid drushami va, pratyaha, dhik, astitva, enam ahu. If anybody insults or tells harsh words to one's father, mother, brother, sister, acharya, or any respectable person in the society, other people, when they observe this behavior of ours, they say, dhik means fie upon you, shame upon you. So why do we say? Because that is, we are hurting them. What hurts them? When we speak harshly, criticizes them, disrespect them, their prana. Some people can have a heart attack also. If you insult them enough pain, then they will commit suicide. So we see so many people foolishly doing that thing also. Therefore, prana is superior to everything, and minus prana, everything is completely opposite, valueless. So that is why if anybody speaks irreverently to all the people mentioned earlier, they say, you are slaying them, you are killing them. That's why we also say, do not hurt people. What does it mean? Surely it doesn't mean body. Body gets hurt whether we hurt it or not. The mind also can get worried, and that is the greatest hurt. But insulting, criticizing, shouting at them, and disrespecting them, all these things reduce their life. Even animals will also suffer when it is not loud. So, when a person is alive and if he is criticized or insulted, we say that it is a murder. The person is not killing, but it is equivalent to killing. But the Upanishad observes so beautifully, even if the most dearest, our mother, who is so near, and then father, brother, sister, acharya, any respected person. What happens? Once life departs from them, what are we going to do? We take them, we don't want even to touch them, lest we become impure. And then we take a stick and then push them onto the blazing fire. So you see, even if you pierce them with khadga, etc., for some purpose, people will say, will not criticize us. People will say, he has done very well. That shows that we are nothing but prana. That's why we should love them. Loving means not hurting and doing much good. This is what Upanishad itself observes it and then concludes. Prano hi eva etani sarvani bhavati. Everything is rooted, founded only in prana. Even the existence of a mountain, it has its own prana. According to Hindu view, Himalayan mountains, any mountain, is not a dead, inert thing, but it is a devata. Asti uttarasyam disi devatayaha himalayo nama nagadhirajaha. That is how Kalidasa goes into ecstasies describing the beauty of the Himalayas. So, a person who has this knowledge that the whole universe is nothing but manifestation of prana, which is nothing but a manifestation of consciousness, which is nothing but the manifestation of Brahman itself, God itself, then he is called Ativadi. Ativada means he who has obtained a knowledge as an experienced, realized soul. A realized knowledge, God realization, is becoming one with God. And such a person, if anybody says, oh, you speak very, very high thing, and if we tell that to somebody who doesn't know about it, then he feels honored sometimes. But we know it is pure, unadulterated flattery. But if the same person is a realized soul, he simply accepts, yes, I am an Ativadi because I am speaking nothing but truth. Ramakrishna is his own way of saying, Mairi Amishati Bolchi. I am telling in truth a thing is. So when this Prana Brahma description briefly was given, and Narada could understand, even though it is given only very briefly, he becomes mute, numb, is unable to speak, and then he doesn't know. But then he must have done it, and then he doesn't ask anything greater is there. But then any Sadguru will not keep quiet because there are higher things than Hiranyagarbha also. So he himself calls and says, listen to me, I want to teach you. So he did not ask Asti Bhuyaha, is there something superior? And then the Sanat Kumara, he doesn't ask. But now Sanat Kumara himself calls him and says, there is something more you will have to know, about which we will talk in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.